Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Erevin Daf Samachay. We're on the last line of Samach Tal Adam Advez. Says Gemara, Omer Av Sheishis Meshuma Rabbi Elazar Ben Azariah. Yochai Lani Lifter, Eskola Ilam Kulay, Min Adin, have the ability to exempt all of Klal Yisrael from judgment on account of their misdeeds. I can defend them. Miyoyim shechor beis hamikdash v'ad achshav. For all their averis that they've committed from the day of the churban up until today. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, lochein shimi nozois aniya ushchuras v'loy miyoyin. The pasuk is describing Klal Yisrael and Golus. They're poor and drunk not as a result of drinking wine, but as a result of their lack of clarity. They don't have the proper perspective. They don't have the clarity of mind. And therefore, says Reb Sheshes, in the name of Elazar Nazaria, I can defend Klal Yisrael. I can say, well, they're not meant to be held accountable for their averus. They're like shikorim. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. On the top line, Yecholni lifter litoin al kol Yisrael fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dovar. Sheyifteru kulon midinin l'asad lovei. I have the ability to defend Klal Yisrael, to claim in defense of Klal Yisrael, look, they're drunk. Loimar shein shikoyrim veinitfasin al voinam. Just like a drunkard, not held accountable. I can defend Klal Yisrael and present them in this light. They're shikoyrim and golas. They shouldn't be held accountable for their virus. Says the Gemara on the fourth line, Meisvei, is that so that a shikar, a person who's drunk, is not responsible? Shikar mekhoi mekach, whatever he purchases is valid. Umemkarei memkar, likewise, his sales are valid. Of avera sheish b'misa, b'misa noisa. If he commits avera that deserves misa, he gets misa. Malkus, if he deserves malkus, malka noisa. Kololo shaldavar. The rule of thumb is, ha'areyu ki pikeach chodvarav. Even a shikar is considered to be like a pikeach, like a person with perfect intelligence. He's perfectly responsible for everything that he does. Elo shepatim na tefila. There's one thing that he's exempt from, which is tefila. As we learned yesterday, tefila requires kavana, requires clarity of mind. He needs to have the ability to be oymed lifnei ha-melech, etc. So tefila is one thing which a shikar is not chaya for. But everything else, he's considered to be a perfectly intelligent person, a bikeach, fully accountable. So what does he mean that he could defend Klal Yisrael on account of their averus because they're in a state of shichrus, drunkenness? Says the Gemara, that's exactly what he meant. He meant on account of tefillah. My yecholni lifter the kamar nami. When he said that I could protect them, I could exempt them, he meant midin tefillah on account of the obligation to daven properly. So I can go and defend them. Look, you know why they're not doing it properly? Because they don't have the proper kavanah, proper clarity of mind, the intellectual capacity to do it properly. Let's see Rashi on the second line from the top. Midin tefila, he's going to exempt them, protect them from a din of tefila im doron oisan, al shaloi hoyim mispalm kavana. If Klal Yisrael will be judged on account of the fact that not mispalm properly with kavana, yochal ni lefoitron, I have the ability to protect them and to exempt them from that claim. I'll say, look, the shikurim, they didn't have the proper clarity, the presence of mind, to apply themselves properly to tefillah. You know, this was the practice of Gedolei Yisrael throughout the generations, to be Melamed Zchus HaKlal Yisrael. The classic thing is of Levi Yitzchak Mevarditchov, who used to always petition Hashem on account of Klal Yisrael and Melamed Zchus on Yisrael. There's a fascinating story that took place with the Chavetz Chaim in his yeshiva. He had a yeshiva in Radin. So apparently it was the custom on Rosh Hashanah. In the afternoon they would get together and dance and sing the Kavod the Yom Tov. And so it happens that one year Chavetz Chaim was there and he singled out two boys from amongst the group and pulled them into the middle and personally danced with them. And after they were done, somebody asked him why specifically these boys. He said, I'll tell you why. Today's Rosh Hashanah. And Rav Levi Mitzchak Mevarditchov, he was known for his limud zchus on Klal Yisrael, he would petition Hashem on behalf of Klal Yisrael to to be malavat zchus on Hashem's children, and these two boys are his grandchildren, his grandsons. So I wanted to dance with them specifically to be ma'irer, to generate the zchus of their grandfather, who is to be malavat zchus on Klal Yisrael today's Rosh Hashanah. We need that Hashem should have a favorable view on Klal Yisrael. So by being ma'ira the schus of their grandfather, Rabbi Yitzchak, who used to do that, who used to be malam tzuz of Klal Yisrael, I was hoping that it would positively affect the din of Rosh Hashanah, and Klal Yisrael would be granted a good year. So this was the derech to be malam tzuz, and Lezer Nazari says, look, Klal Yisrael don't have the ability, the capacity in Golis to daven properly, and this is going to be a good limit tzuz on them. Continues the Gemara. Getting back to the shikar, who's fully accountable and responsible for his actions, for his transactions, Omar Rabbi Chanina, lo yishanu. That's only said, elish lo yigia l'shichrus yishalot. If this drunk person is somewhat drunk, but he's not at the point that he's totally unaware of what's going on, like the shichrus, the state of shichrus that Lot was in when he was in the cave with his daughters, so then he's considered to be held accountable. But once he gets to that point where he's totally unaware of his everything, then indeed he is exempt from anything and he's not held accountable and his transactions are not valid. Continues the Gemara. Omar Chanina, getting back to the shikar with tefillah, we know that a shikar is not meant to daven. Says Rav Chanina, kol ha-mepik mogen. Mepik means he passes over. He bypasses. Mogen means tefillah, Mogen Avram. So he skips over tefillah. He avoids davening. Bishas gava, at a time of gava, of haughtiness, of shichrus, when he doesn't have the ability to submit himself to Hashem. So he conducts himself properly. He avoids davening the way he's meant to do. He shouldn't think that he's missing out on the opportunity. Actually, just the opposite. They close up, they seal away misfortunes from him. Meaning he's zoicha, the fact that he avoids davening, and at a time where he's not meant to daven, then he's actually zoicha to be protected. Shenemar gava afike moginim chsogur. So gava means when he's in a state of gava, of shichrus. Afike means that he passes over, he bypasses, he skips over maginim, which is the magen avram tefillah, he doesn't daven. What happens? Sogur choysam. It's closed up, it's sealed away, the tsar, the misfortunes, he's protected from these things. My mashma dahai apik lishna davurihu. Where do we find that the term afik is referring to going over, passing over? Tichsiv, achay bogdu chemoy nochal kafik necholim yavoyru. So kafik necholim, like the passing through of the necholim of the streams, yavoyru, they will pass through. So we see that afik means to pass through, to pass over. So the point is that a person who is careful and treats tefillah with respect and avoids davening when he's not supposed to, he actually benefits from it. He shouldn't think that he lost out. Just the opposite. There's a similar Gemara in Brachas towards the end that speaks about a person who avoids learning Torah at a time where he's unclean, where it's inappropriate to learn. And the Gemara says he actually earns Arichas Yamim, Marichan lo Yama Vishnoisa. Same concept. A person should think, well, I'm losing out the opportunity to learn. No, just the opposite. You'll have more days, more years added onto your life in the merit of treating Torah properly. So you'll have time to make up for all this lost time. Here as well, he misses davening because he's not supposed to daven. Hashem will protect him from his fortune. Rabbi Yechanan Omar. So Rabbi Yechanan is basically going to say the same thing, just in a little of a different angle. He says, Kol she'enoi mapik itmar. He learns that mapik means revealed. So one who does not reveal himself, does not connect himself to tefillah, doesn't experience tefillah, doesn't daven. He's basically saying the same thing, but just in a different angle. that one who is not mefik mugim mishas gavar, meaning he doesn't reveal the tefillah, he doesn't experience tefillah, doesn't daven at a time of gavar, so the same results, the tsaris are blocked away from him, because he had a different translation of the word mafik. So according to Rav Chanina, mefik means he passes over it, he skips it. According to Rabbi Yochanan, mefik means something revealed, something, it demonstrates it. So if he does not demonstrate tefillah, means he doesn't daven at a time where it's inappropriate, when he's in a state of gava, of drunkenness, then he's protected from tzaris. My mashma dahai mefik lishna de guluyehu. Where do we find, this is Rabbi Yochanan's version, where do we find that mefik means it's referring to revealed and exposed? Tichsiv vayiro afike mayim vayigolu maestis tevel. So vayiro afike mayim, afike is the revealing of the seas, they'll be seen. So we see that afike is related to revealed and seen and visibility. Okay, says the Gemara Michti, kroy mashma bein lamar bein lamar. Both Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yochanan are basically saying the same thing and sourcing their version from the psukim, which indeed there is a connotation, there's a pasuk which indicates Rabbi Chanina's pshat, and there's another pasuk where the word mepik is applied in the context that Rabbi Yochanan was referring to. So they both have proper sources, and they're both basically saying the same thing: a person who's a shika should not daven. Is there any difference? Might be nay. What is the difference between the two versions? Iku b'nayu derav sheshes. Actually, there is an afkamina regarding the custom of Rav Sheshes. The Rav Sheshes masar shinsei l'shami. Rav Sheshes, when he would drink a large quantity of wine, more than revius, so you have to take a nap, a bit of a longer nap, because the short nap only alleviates the effect of a revius of wine. But if it's more than that, you need a longer nap. So he would ask his shami, his servant, to wake him up after a while. After you estimate that I've slept enough, wake me up so I can daven. So that's what Rav Sheshes used to do. Says him, well, that would be the point of contention between Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that a person is not meant to expose tefillah, reveal tefillah, experience tefillah during a time of shichrus. But once the effect is gone, once he's slept enough, the servant can estimate, can determine when he slept enough. At that point, he's allowed to daven. That's fine. Whereas Reb Chanina, who says that a person is meant to bypass tefillah, skip over tefillah, that indicates that he's meant to wait it out, wait until he wakes up on his own, in which case we know that the effect of the wine is completely gone, completely cleared up. Mar islay der Sheshes, Rav Yochanan would follow Rav Sheshes' custom, umar lesley der Sheshes. Rav Chanina does not hold of this. He holds the person has to sleep it out, shouldn't be woken up before he wakes up on his own. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi Amar Rav. Kol shein datam yishev azalof. Person feels he doesn't have proper yishev adas, doesn't have proper presence of mind, al yispal. He should not approach tefillah. Mishum shenemar batzar al yireh. At a time of distress, of discomfort, a person should not rule on a halachic shaila. And likewise, a person should not approach tefillah, which requires clarity. Now, it's interesting. Rashi says, bodakti achar mikra zeh. I looked around, and I didn't find this pasuk anywhere in Tanakh. So Rashi says, maybe it's in Sefer Ben Sira, which was a collection of pearls of wisdom. It wasn't a Sefer of Chazal, it was a Sefer of Chachma. Perhaps that's where it comes from. And Tosfos actually says that we find Matzinu b'chama mekaymos, shemevi hashas mikrois haksuvim b'Sefer Ben Sira. This is in Tosfos Dera Maschil Batzar al Yireh. You find many places in Chazal where this Sefer is actually quoted. So it's not a pasuk, but it's a quote from that Sefer. So the time of tsar, when he's in distress, discomfort, he should not rule on halachis, and nor should he daven. Reb Chanina, b'yoyim derosach, during a day that he got upset, Leimatzli hidden daf. Amar, he said, Batsar al yerek siv. Based on this quote, Batsar al yerek, at the time of tsar, I'm upset, I'm angry, I lost my clarity. Today is not a day to daf. It's interesting that the Mefarshim and Rishonim say that this applied in those days when their tefillah was really with true kavana, true application and concentration. Therefore, they had these limitations and days where they didn't feel they were in full capacity, they didn't daven. But nowadays, it's okay, we could daven even if we're not top shape. And that's how it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch as well. This is similar to the Gemara in Brachas that we learned, that a chassan will refrain from Krishma on the first night, etc., because he can't have proper concentration. And we know that Bezman Hazeh, we don't follow that because we don't have that degree of concentration of kavana that the circumstance wouldn't allow that type of kavana would be considered a interference. Therefore, Bezman Hazeh, certainly even chassan would daven and say Krishma. Continues the Gemara. Mar ukva b'yoyim deshusa la'avanafik l'beidina. Likewise, mar ukva on a day of a storm. Yoyim deshusa is when the southern wind would blow into strong wind. He wouldn't go out to the Bezdin because he was concerned that perhaps due to the storm he wouldn't have the proper clarity to paskin properly. Amar av nachmar yitzchak. Hilchasa b'yitzelusa k'yoyim deistina. A halacha, Torah, requires clarity. It requires das tzelula, says Rashi. The proper presence of mind. Kiyomi de'istana. Like this pleasant weather day, this day where the ruach tzfoinis would blow. That was considered to be a pleasant day. So Torah requires pleasantness, good weather, presence of mind. So some of Farshim say he's saying you need presence of mind, just like he's equating it to nice weather. You need to have yishuv hadas, which is similar to nice weather, and some say it means practically. You need nice weather to enhance a person's intellectual ability and aid and assist in his learning. You know, there was once a beautiful spring day, and Rav Aaron Kotler walked outside and he says, "Wow, such nice weather." He said, "Ah, today's such a gewaldige day for learning Torah." That's how he approached it. Nice weather equals better learning. Amr Abai, I Amr li aim, if my caretaker, Abai was a Yosem, so Aim wasn't actually his mother, it was his caretaker, if she would have given me a job, if she would tell me, Karev Kutcha, pass over the dip, Loi Tanoi, I wouldn't be able to learn properly. Even if I would just be asked to do a minor chore, it would already affect my learning, my concentration. Amr Rava, I Karatz Tankina Loi Tanoi, if a louse bites me, I can't learn properly. It interferes with my concentration. The point here is not that they wouldn't learn if this happened. The point here is that a person is meant to realize, you know, how easily affected he is, how fragile he is, and you know, do his utmost to avoid being distracted and inviting these type of situations, because he should know, yeah, these things can impair concentration. Mar bre d'Ravina, of the le'ime, so the mother of the Mar, the son of Ravina, prepared for him zayin money, 7 changes of clothes, zayin yomi for 7 days, in order to avoid kinim. He shouldn't have experienced lice that wouldn't interrupt his learning. Amar Ravina, le'ivri le'elya elishins. You know why Hashem created nighttime? For sleep. So that we sleep, we get enough rest, come morning, we're well rested, we're able to focus and concentrate on learning. In fact, there's a famous Taz who writes, you know, I looked around, I've seen, I've experienced those who push themselves and deprive themselves of sleep. I think they're gaining because they're hopping around, learning a lot of Torah, but in the long run, you know, their ability, their intellectual ability and mental abilities get impaired, and they can't really concentrate properly. He says, I found from my own experience, if you sleep properly and you get a good night's sleep, you're well rested in the morning, he says, your learning is so much better quality and you know, more meaningful and you know, lasting, and you know, the person's memory is enhanced, etc. So he advocates that a person should take care of himself properly, try to cut corners, sleep well, eat well, and learn well. So that's what the Gemara is saying. Le'ivr le'el elishins. Nighttime is created for sleep. Sleep well, learn in the morning. Amr Shimon Lakish. Le'ivr sihara eligirsa. The reason why Hashem created the moon and the light that radiates from the moon at night, so for the sake of learning, to allow us to learn through the light of the moon. The Tosafot says that it's not a machlekes here. He's referring to the longer nights of the year, the winter nights, in which case there's more time than just to allow for sleep. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, we're speaking about the shorter nights of the year, which are primarily meant to be designated for sleeping. Amri lei l'Rav Zeir, mechadet shmatach. So people told Rav Zeir, your Torah, your learning, your halachas are clear, are sharp. They complimented him. Amr lehu, you know why? D'yamamininu, because I learned them by day, during daytime. These are my daytime halachas, my daytime learning. And therefore, they're sharp and clear. So this supports the Gemara earlier that a person is primarily meant to learn by day, where he has proper clarity, and his Torah will have the right sharpness. Amra le brate de Rav Chisda, but Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda's daughter turned to him. She saw he was exhausting himself. Le boi mar meinam purta. You don't need to sleep a bit? Amar la, so he said, hashta asu yaymi, da'arichik tini. Look, soon there are going to be days, da'arichik, long days, much time to sleep after a person passes from this world. Uktini, they're small. They don't accommodate Torah mitzvahs. So those days are going to come soon. V'neinum tuva. And we'll have lots of opportunity to sleep. Now is not the time to sleep. Now is the time to take full advantage, to learn, to daven. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Anan, we pay'ale di'yamami Anan. We are daytime laborers. Person is primarily meant to learn by day, as Zigmar said earlier. Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Yazif apara. So as Rashi explains, he had a set amount of learning that he designated for himself. Kach v'kach prakim b'yayim. The Meir says that a person is meant to create an organized schedule for himself. I'm going to learn this and this much, by daf hayayimi, set amount. This keeps him organized. And Rav Acha bar Yaakov had a set amount of learning. But as Rashi explains, sometimes he got preoccupied with his business and he couldn't complete the allotment. So the Gemara says, Yosef upara. He would borrow and return it, meaning he wouldn't perhaps reach the allotment during the day, so he would pay it back at night, make up what he missed. Omer blaz, haba min haderech, one who comes off the road, al yispalo shlosh yamim. For the first 3 days, he shouldn't daven. He doesn't have the proper concentration. Shenemar, we find in a pasuk that up until 3 days, a person's mental capacity is inhibited, his mind is a bit cloudy. So the pasuk uses the word va'avina, I understood, I paid attention, and that only happened after 3 days. So we see that bina, proper concentration, proper understanding, only comes later. So 3 days before we daven. Avod Shmuel, ki asi b'urcha le'mas le'tasa yami. Likewise, Shmuel's father, if they came off a trip, for the first 3 days he wouldn't daven. Again, as we see in that pasuk, that for the first 3 days of following the trip, they had no bina, and therefore you must wait 3 days before you daven. Again, the Mefarshim will point out, the Bezman Hazeh, don't have to worry about it, our level of tefillah is not at that point that we're so affected by our trips. It says the Gemara, Shmuel le'matzli be'beisa de'ispe shichra. Shmuel would not daven in a home, in a room, where there was some shichra, some beer present. The smell would interfere with his concentration. Rav Papa le'matzli, Rav Papa wouldn't daven be'beisa de'ispe harsin. In a room, in a house that there was harsin, this dish made of a fish, again, the smell would interfere with his kavana. Om Rav Chanina, kamaspata b'yeinai. If a person allows himself to be appeased by drinking wine, he drinks a little wine, he's put at ease, and he forgives, he forgets. Yesh b'midas koinai. This indicates that his mind is somewhat similar, kaviyachal, to Hashem. Shenemar, this is after the Mabel, it says, Vayorech Hashem esreyach anichoyach. Hashem smelled the scent of the carbon that Noach brought, And he was appeased. So a person allows himself to be appeased by having a good smell, a good drink. Yeshua midas koine. He's in somewhat similar to Hashem. A person, even when he drinks, doesn't lose himself. He contains himself. He remains discreet. Doesn't spill it all out. That's a good sign. It's a sign that he has strong intellectual capacity. Apparently, he has from the das of the 70s, the Canaan, in the Midbar. As the Vilgun explains, we know when Moshe Rabbeinu appointed the Zekanim, so there were the 70 Zekanim, then there was Eldad and Medad, who were expressing Nevuah to the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to die, and Yeshua is going to bring Kal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. And he says that we assume that the 70 Zekanim also were fully aware of that Nevuah, but they kept quiet. They were discreet. They didn't speak about something that they felt was inappropriate. To speak about Moshe's death in front of Moshe. So a person who contains himself, and even after drinking wine, he retains his confidentiality, he remains discreet. Apparently, he has strong intellectual capacity, and he is Yeshua Midas and Skenim, similar to the, he has from the Das of those 70 Skenim. Says the more Yayin Itan Bayin Oisis. What is the gematria of the word Yayin? Yud, Yud, and Anun is 70. Vesoid, likewise the word soid, a secret, nitan by Inosis, has a gematria of 70. So generally, it's one or the other. Either you have yain or you have soid. You can't have both together. Nichnas yain. When yain goes in, person gets drunk, yotza soid. All the secrets get spilled out. But this fellow here, despite his drinking of wine, remains discreet and keeps it confidential, doesn't lose himself. So apparently he's a cut above the rest of the population. Yeshua Midas Ayinskin. Om Rav Chana, Lo Nivra Yain. Why does Hashem create this whole concept of wine, which brings so much trouble to the world? You know why? It was created El Lenachem Avelim, to console mourners. Give them to drink and put them at ease. You know, the Gemara Ksuvos describes the whole procedure, all the cups of wine they would drink in the Beis Avel. So it has a good purpose. U'lishalim schar l'rishayim. Likewise, to pay off the rishayim for their mitzvahs that they did. This gives Hashem the opportunity to pay them back in this world. They have a good time, they drink. Shenema tznu shecha l'oyved v'goymer. So give shecha to the oyved, this is the Rasha. And the rest of the pasuk is actually V'yayin l'mar nefesh, wine to those bitter ones, the avelim. Amar Rav Chanan bar Papa. You want to know if a person really is experiencing true bracha in his house? This is the indication. Kol she'in yayin nishbach b'seich b'seich k'mayim. If a person does not have wine in abundance, spilling and flowing in his house like water, einu b'chal bracha. You know, he hasn't really attained the high level of bracha. Shenemar, uberach es lachmcha ves memecha. Hashem is going to give a bracha, your bread and your water. What type of water are we speaking about? It's a more drush. The pasuk lists bread together with water. So we compare. Ma lechem shenikach b'kesef maser. Just as bread is something which you can purchase with maser sheni money Yerushalayim. Af mayim. Likewise, the water mentioned in this pasuk apparently is also of that same ilk. Shenikach b'kesef maser can be purchased with maser money. And we know that one cannot purchase water with maser sheni money. We learned this earlier in the Masechta. So apparently if the pasuk here is speaking about mayim that can be purchased with maser sheni, umayniu yain, apparently we're speaking about wine. Why did the pasuk refer to it as water? V'kakorele mayim, to teach you, inishbach b'beisek mayim ikabroch. What's the epitome of bracha? When this wine is like water, it spills, it flows in abundance. Then you know there's the highest level of bracha. V'loi, but otherwise loi, and he hadn't yet reached the highest level of bracha. Omer v'loi. You want to know the true character of a person? Go observe him during one of these three following scenarios. v'shloisha dvarim adam nikar. In three situations, you can really test, determine the true character of a person. B'koisai, when he has a drink and he's drunk. See how he behaves himself. U'b'kisai, how he treats money. Is he honest in his dealings? U'b'kasai, when he's tested with something that irritates him. In his anger, you can tell the true character of a person. V'amrilei, some add a fourth. Af b'schakai, likewise when he's having a laugh. You see whether it's contained, whether it's frivolous. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. The top line. Adam nikr, im haganu. You can tell if a person is a Adam Hagan, a proper person, b'koisai, im datim yishevis al v'yenai. If his mind is contained, even when he's after a drink of wine. B'kisai, k'shanoisev v'noisim nei Adam. When he has business dealings with people, im be'emunu oisev, whether he's conducting his transactions with integrity and honesty. B'kasai, sheinik habdun yoisim edai. He's not... He doesn't get too irritated. So these are true indicators of a person's character. You know, the Chafetz Chaim once had a visitor. There's a fellow who wrote a sefer about the on the topic of kas, of savlanus, patience, and he brought it to the Chafetz Chaim for a haskam. Chafetz Chaim took a look at the sefer, nicely written sefer, and he turned to the mechaber. He says, "You know what? Maybe come back a bit later." Sure, no problem. He left, came back a bit later. Again, the Chafetz Chaim tells him, you know what? We'll come back tomorrow. Fine, left, came back tomorrow. So a couple of times back and forth, the person got a little irritated. Like, what's going on here? And the Chafetz Chaim stopped. He says, look, I'm sorry, I can't give you haskama. I just needed to see what you're all about. If you want to write a sefer on kas, in order for you to have true siyata d'shmaya, that it influences the masses properly, you yourself have to be a person who's totally worked through in this inyan, this midah. You can't preach something which you yourself are not really perfect in, or close to perfect. Therefore, I wanted to test your character, if you're really a person who's tolerant, who's savlon, doesn't succumb to anger. And only then would I give you askama. Now that I see, really, perhaps you need a bit more work, I'll give you some extra time, work on it, work it through, and when you feel that you've developed yourself to that point, that you're fitting to write a sefer on the topic, please come back. I'll be happy to give you a haskama. You know, Chafetz Chaim himself, a tremendous savlan. There was a story that after his first rebbetzin was niftas, he remarried, and that first Yom Tov Sukkos, Chafetz Chaim went out to the yard to build a sukkah. Well, he had built it last 40 years in the same location in the backyard. So he built up the sukkah, and his new rebbetzin comes out, and she takes a look at him and says, you know, Rabbi Yisrael Meir, I think perhaps it would be better if the sukkah would be on the other side of the yard. It would just be more convenient. And without saying boo, he dismantled the sukkah and reassembled it up on the other side of the yard. Fine. Came back in to tell his rebbetzin. She went out to take a look. Says, you know what, Rabbi Yisrael Meir, I think the original location was right. You're right. That one's really the good place to do it. So without hesitation, he says, no problem. Took apart the sukkah again. Rebuilt it all on the other side of the yard. It's true sablonis. No, Rav Moshe Feinstein, many stories of his tolerance, of his sablonis. Once he had bought a new shas, a new Schulzinger shas that had come out then. It was a beautiful deluxe shas at the time. And somehow a Talmud knocked over an inkwell, was blowing on the new shas. And Rav Moshe came over afterwards and they were shocked. Who's, what he's going to do? And he took one look. His first reaction was a smile. He said, ah, I always liked the color blue. That was his reaction, just his natural response. He once found a bachur sitting in his office in the yeshiva. He walked into the office. He sees this bachur sitting in the Ramesh's office with the air conditioner full blast. Well, it's summer. Boy, he was looking for an air conditioned room. So he used Ramesh's office. And he's sitting there with the air conditioner. Ramesh walks in. And without batting an eyelash, he said, oh, I'm sorry for disturbing. He walks right out, closes the door, goes back to his medrash. And somebody wants to ask Rav Moshe if this is natural, he was just born with it. How could he achieve such a level of patience? Perhaps of something that he was born with, and he said just the opposite. He was actually born with a strong tendency for irritation and anger. And he worked through it. He worked and worked until he really transformed himself. So that's the Shloisha Dvarim Adam Nikar. Okay, says the Gemara. Amar Vidam Amar Rav. Yisrael v'nachir v'pnimis. Yisrael v'chaitzayin. Let's go back to the Halacha of Schiris. The Gemara concluded earlier that we follow the Shita of Rav Lezer and Yaakov. Schiris is required the rental of the Goy's usage rights. The Chatzar is only required when we have two Yisraelim that require amongst themselves, you know, to make an Erev. The Oishim Zelzeh. So if they have a Goy with them, at that point we say they need to have Schiris, and the point of Schiris was to make it inconvenient for the Yisraelim to discourage living with a Goy. Why specifically only two Yisraelim and not one Yisrael? The Gemara tells us because one Yisrael really fears for his life. He won't want to live with a Goy regardless. That's something that, it's not something Chacham concerned about. Two Yisraelim look after each other, they're more secure. It's something which is common practice, and therefore Chacham enacted the din of Schiris to discourage that from taking place. Now, let's get back to the story in the Gemara. We have two Chatzeris. We have one interior, one exterior. So let's say we have a Rishus HaRabim here, and we have one courtyard next to it, and then another one inside that one, which has access to Rishus HaRabim through the outer courtyard. Two separate courtyards, with a mechitza, but the inner one needs to walk through the outer one, the chitza, and to get Rishus HaRabim. Yisrael v'nachir v'pnimis. So in the pnimis you have a yid and a guy. Yisrael v'chitzayna. In the outer courtyard, meaning near the Rishus HaRabim, you have only one Yisrael. The question was, can the Yisrael, who is living with the guy in the inner courtyard, carry? But Masa l'fnei Rebbe, so this was a Masa Shaya, and they brought it to Rebbe, v'asa, he says, no, he cannot carry. V'lfnei Rebchia v'asa, likewise, it was presented to Rebchia, and he said, no. The Gemara is going to expound on the reason for this halacha. Yosef Rabba v'Rav Yosef. So Rabba and Rav Yosef were sitting, b'shili pirkei der sheshes. After the Rav Sheshes ended his rasha, the Yosef Rav Sheshes come. Rav Sheshes was sitting and explaining, looking for the basis for Rav saying that the Yisrael cannot carry in the chatzar. Now Rashi explains that the shaila was regarding the Yisrael in the outer chatzar. So Rav didn't allow the Yisrael in the outer chatzar to carry. We're going to see soon why. But it seems that they understood that the Isra was for the Yisrael living inside, with the Goy, actually together. So Rav Sheshes wants to know why. Why does Rav say it's us? So, the Yosef Rav Sheshes Gomer, and he was saying like this, Keman Amra Rav Lishmait. In accordance with who did Rav issue that halach? To Rav Meir. Apparently, he's following Rav Meir. Rav Meir holds that. Even when there's one Yisrael living with a guy, he can't carry. Ramei is chayish lemiyuta, he's concerned that perhaps even one Yid will decide to live with a guy, therefore we're concerned about that as well. Want to discourage it, and therefore schiris is required. So apparently Rav, who doesn't let the Yisrael living with the guy inside, in the interior chatzar, doesn't let him carry, apparently he's following Rav Meir's sheet. Karchish Rav Reishe. So Rav nodded in approval. Yeah, apparently that's the pshat. I'm Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef responded, how can you say that? Tre Gavri, Ravarvik Rabban. Two such great people, Litu by Milsa, should make such a mistake? That can't be the pshat. Ik Rav Meir. Because if Rav would be basing his halacha on Rav Meir, that even one Yisrael cannot carry when he's living with a guy, Lama li Yisrael b'chitzayna. So why did we need the Yisrael in the outer courtyard to bring the total of Yisrael into two? We only need one Yisrael. V'chi teima, perhaps you'll say, Masa shayi kachaya. This was the fact, this was the story. True, even one Yisrael with a guy would be a problem. It so happens that here you had a Yisrael in each courtyard. But not that is the reason for the Yisrael. If that's what you'll say, that can't be. V'habo minei mirav. Because they actually asked Rav himself, Pnimi bimkoy mimau. What is the halacha regarding the pnimi, the Yisrael living inside? Can he carry in the interior courtyard? Barmelem motor, certainly he could. So he himself responded that he's allowed to because apparently one Yisrael with the guy is not a problem. So Rav Yosef was challenging the Rav Shad. You can't say that Rav is based on Rav Meir, that one Yisrael with a guy is a problem. Rav himself said that the Yisrael living with the guy in the inner courtyard is mutter. So apparently, we're speaking about the Yisrael living outside, in the chitzayna. And somehow, we're going to get to that soon, somehow, since they're walking through his courtyard, etc., we'll get to that soon, we consider it as if there's two Yisrael. Let's see why. It says more of El Michael Rezom Yaakov. So what are you going to say? The Rav was following Rezom Yaakov. And that's why he says that the Yisrael living with the guy inside, since it's only one Yisrael, it's okay. The question was whether the Yisrael in the Chitzayna can carry. Over there he can't. So following Rezom Yaakov requires two Yisrael. How does that make things better? Ha'amar ad sheyu shnei Yisraelim oisin zeh al-zeh. He requires two Yisraelim to live in a situation where they're oisir zeh al-zeh. Let's say they're living together in the same chatzer. They interfere with each other, right? They need to make an eruv. So Rav Lezer Yaakov says that when a guy is present, when there are two Yisraelim, he interferes with them. They need to make schiras. That's only when two Yisraelim are actually living in a situation where they require each other to make an eruv. The oisir zeh al-zeh. But if there's one Yisrael living in one chatzer, in the pnimi, another Yisrael living in the chitzayna, they're not oisir zeh al-zeh. They're totally unrelated, disconnected from each other. They don't have to make an eruv with each other, because the Yisrael living inside is merely walking through. He has pedestrian rights through the chatzer chitzayna. He's not actually living there. There's no requirement for them to take eruv with each other. So even according to Blazer and Yaakov, who says when you have two Yisraelim, they make aser, and over here you have two Yisraelim. You don't really have two Yisraelim. There's one inside, one outside. They're not connected to each other. Says Gemara Elok Rabbi Kiva. Apparently, you're following Rabbi Kiva's sheet. De Amar Regal Meteres Bimkayma Isera Shleim Bimkayma. So Rabbi Kiva is speaking about a case where you have two courtyards, two adjacent courtyards, and you have people living in the inner courtyard who need to walk through the outer courtyard to get to Rishus Rabbim. Now, the members of both courtyards made their own independent eruvs, which allows them to carry throughout their area. But the problem is that the residents of the chatzer pnimis of the inner courtyard need access, going to be walking through the outer courtyard. The question is access, is walking through considered like residency? And do they need to be included in the eruv of the chatzer chitzayna due to the fact that they're walking through there? So according to Rabbi Kiva, the answer is yes. He says, regal amateris bim kaima. Regal means the person that's walking through, or has walk-through rights. Even though he's mutter bim kaima, he's allowed to carry in his own place, in his own chatzer. He made an eruv with his fellow chatzer members. Oyseresh le bim kaima. He interferes. He makes iser when he comes out of his place and walks through this area. Walking through rights must be reckoned with. And he's considered like a resident of the outer courtyard. It must be included in the eruv. So likewise in our case, the fact that the Yisrael is coming out of his chatzer through the chatzer chitzayna, that is considered like residency. He must be included in the eruv. He must make an eruv with the Yisrael living outside, and that's why it's aser. That's why it's aser for the Yisrael living in the chatzer chitzayna to carry. Says Mar, if that's the case, then skip the guy. Take him out of the equation. Lo mali nachri. I feel Yisrael nami. Even if there will be no Nachri in the vicinity. The fact that there's Yisrael inside, coming through the outer chatzer, that itself is ample reason for an Erev. So why do we need to present a case with a Yisrael, with a guy? Amar Abuna b'Yedei Rav Yehoshua, lo'olam k'Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. I'll explain to you why. We're following Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Shita, who says, Schiris is only required when there are two Yisraelim. Two Yisraelim that need to make an Erev with each other. So if a guy is there, they can't activate their Erev. They need to rent it from the guy. Ukri Rekiva, and we're following Rabbi Kiva Shita, who says that pedestrian rights must be reckoned with. They're considered to be like residency. So the fact that Rabbi Kiva holds that the fellow inside walking through the outside chatzar is considered as though he's living there, now we view these two Yisrael as though they're living together and they need to make an eruv with each other. They're oisim zeh al zeh. And the fact that we have two Yisraelim that need to make an Erev, and there is a Goy in the equation as well, oh, now we have a problem. Now we must make Schiris. The question was, forget about the Goy. The Yisraelim themselves have a problem, they need to make Schiris. You know, we're speaking about Kanshi Erevu. They made an Erev. So the two Yisraelim amongst themselves took care of their situation. The problem is only because there's a Goy here. Who the Asir? That's why it's Asir. But if there would be no Goy here, there wouldn't be a problem, because the Israel already made an error with each other. At least they tried to. But the fact that there's a Goy here in the equation, that complicates matters. And they can't make an error amongst each other unless they are first Soicher from the Goy. Boy mine Rabbi Elazar mirav. So Rabbi Elazar asked the following question of Rav. We have the same situation, one chatzar inside, one chatzar outside, but the equation will be switched around. Yisrael v'nachir b'chitzoin. In this case, we have Yisrael and a guy living on the outside, Yisrael b'pnimis, and Yisrael living on the inside. Ma, what is the halacha here? Why would I differentiate? So again, the point of the requirement of, for schiris to be made when you have two Yisraelim in specific is because they're not concerned about their safety. There's two people there. They look after each other. They feel secure. And therefore, we're concerned that this will happen. We don't want them to live with a goy. Therefore, we require schiris. The question is whether in this scenario, schiris will be required. Do they feel safe with this arrangement when there's a Yisrael living by himself inside and the Yisrael and the Nacha on the outside? Perhaps it's different than the previous case where schiris is required because they feel secure. The Gemara will explain. Ma, what is the halacha here? Hasam tama in the earlier case where the Yisrael was living with the guy inside and the other Yisrael outside. Hasam tama mishum the shchiach, the dire. It's common for the Yisrael to live with the guy in this manner. The mirsas nachi, because the guy is afraid. V'sava, he figures, hashta asi Yisrael. I can't harm my neighbor in the interior chatzah because the Yisrael living in the chitzayna perhaps will show up v'amarli and will confront me. Yisrael davagabach heicha. Where is your neighbor? And I can't tell him, well, he left, he went shopping. I would have seen him. I live outside. He didn't come through my chatzah. So in that case, the Israelim feel secure. And it's common for them to live in this manner. And therefore, schiris is required. Aval hacha. As opposed to this case, where we have the Israel living inside. And we have the Israel with the guy in the chitzayna. In this case, perhaps, Israel is afraid to live with the guy. Because if the guy should harm the Israel, have a way to defend himself. If the other fellow from the inside comes out and says, where's my friend? He'll say, look, he just went out shopping. Avalacha, but in the second case, Aminale, the guy figures, you know, I could just tell the Yisrael, Nafak Azale, my friend here left town. He went out. Sure, you didn't see him because you're all the way inside. So in this case, perhaps the guy is not afraid to harm the Yisrael. And the Yisrael is afraid to live with the guy, and therefore there's no need to make schiris. That's one side of the coin, a duma perhaps. Hachinami mirsas, even in this case, Yisrael feels secure because the guy is afraid, mirsa is afraid, the savar hashtas Yisrael v'chazali. I can't do anything to Yisrael, because perhaps hashtas Yisrael, the fellow living in the chatzar pnimis, perhaps will show up any second v'chazali, and he'll see me doing something wrong. So the guy is afraid, and Yisrael feels secure, and therefore schiris is required to discourage this type of living. So that was the question. Is it or is it not? Amar Lei, so Rav responded, Tein l'chacham yechkemoid. This is a pasuk in Mishlei. Give wisdom to a wise man and let him enhance on the wisdom, meaning, just as in the earlier case it's Aser, likewise in this case it's Aser, we're concerned that the Israel will feel secure with the guy, with this arrangement, due to the fact that there are two Israel in the vicinity, therefore schiris is required. Says the Gemara, Reish Lakish of a Talmidei Rav Chanina. There's a story with Reish Lakish and the Talmidim of Rav Chanina. Iklu lau punduk. They visited this hotel where there were two Yisraelim living in the chatzar and a guy. This guy was a renter. He was a tenant. But the tenant, the guy, was actually not present on Shabbos. Now, we learned earlier that when a guy is not there on Shabbos, we don't have to reckon with him. But they were concerned that perhaps he's going to surface on Shabbos and then they'll have problems. So they wanted to arrange some sort of schiris, but the tenant wasn't there. V'hava masker, but the landlord was there. Amru, so they pondered, Mao le megar minit? Can we do schiras from the landlord? Or do we need the actual tenant, the person who's actually living there? It says the Gemara like this. Kolecha de lo yimotzi misalakle. When the law of the land is that the landlord doesn't have the ability to evict his tenant before his time is up, lo tibberlach, then there's certainly no question, lo agrinan, we can't rent from the landlord. He doesn't have a foothold on this property. He's not considered to be the owner. Ki tibber, the question will be, hecha de matzi misalakle. When the landlord does have the legal ability to evict a tenant, my, what's the halacha? Kiva de matzi misalakle, since he can do that, agrinan, we can rent from the landlord as well. He's considered like the owner. Oy dilma, perhaps. Hashtamia haloi salka. Bottom line is, at the present moment in time, he hadn't yet evicted him. So he's not really the true resident. So what's the halacha? Can we rent from the landlord or not? Omel and Rish Lakish. The Rish Lakish responded to them, Nisker, you know what? Let's rent from the landlord. Rashi says, when it comes to Erevin, we have a safek galakula. Let's go proceed. And then we'll ask if we did right. Ukshnagia, it's Rabbi Seinu Shabbatarim. We'll get to our Rabbi Seinu in the south, Nishalan. We'll ask them if we proceeded correctly. So they rented. And then they went to ask, Osu Shailu Lerefes. They came and they asked Lerefes. Amalam, he told them, yes. Yofa, Asisem, Shesachartem. You did a proper rental. You were able to rent from the landlord as well. Says more another story. Rabbi Hanina Bar Yosef. Rabbi Chiyah Bar Abba. Rabbi Asi. So these three, Iklu Lao Punduk, they went to this, stayed in this hotel on Shabbos. The Asa Nachri, Mari, the Punduk B'Shabbat. What happened was that the guy wasn't there on Erev Shabbos. So they made an Erev amongst themselves. The Yidin made an Erev. But on Shabbos, the guy showed up. The Asa Nachri, the guy, Mari, the Punduk, the owner of the Punduk, showed up B'Shabbat. Now they had a problem. There's a guy here. Amru, so they said, Mao le megar minit? Can we right now rent from him? Can we rent on Shabbos? Or does this have to take place before Shabbos? What was the equation? Soichi kim arav dami is renting like making an Erev. Ma'am arav boy joim, just as an Erev has to be established before Shabbos because it gets activated ben hashmashis. Af soichi boy joim, likewise when he rents. It has to be done before Shabbos. Oy dilma perhaps, soichi kim avato rishis dami. Soich is not so serious. It's like bittul rishus. A person who forgets to take part in the Erev, so he just relinquishes his rights and gives it up to the other members of the chatzar. That's not a positive feature. It's not an establishment of anything. Just relinquishing. So perhaps schirus is treated in the same way. He's just getting rid of the guy, so to speak. He's buying him out. And he's turning him into a guest. So it's not something positive that needs to be established. And that doesn't need to be done before Shabbos. Renting is like bittul. Just like a bittul. It can happen even on Shabbos. Likewise, renting can also take place on Shabbos. Rav Chanina bar Yosef Amar Nisker, he says, yeah, we can rent even on Shabbos. Rav Asi Amar Loi Nisker, we can't rent on Shabbos. Omul Rav Chiyah bar Abbas, Rav Chiyah bar Abbas turned to him, he said, Nismech al Debre Zokein v'Nisker. Let's rely on the words of the elder of Rav Chanina bar Yosef, and let's rent. And indeed, they rented. Then they came to ask the Shaila. Asu Shaila le Rabbi Yechanan. They came to ask Rabbi Yechanan whether they acted properly. Armor Lance, he told him, yes. Yofe asisem shesochartem. Your rental is perfectly fine, perfectly valid. You acted correctly. Schiris can be done even on Shabbos. Okay, let's take a short chazor of today's daf. We began with Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah saying, I could defend Klal Yisrael on account of their lack of kavana by tefillah because Klal Yisrael is compared to a shikar throughout the time of Golus when they don't have the ability to properly concentrate. Tefillah requires concentration. When a person's mind is not really miyushiv, he doesn't have proper presence of mind, he's not meant to daven. Likewise, the first 3 days after a trip is not a time to daven. The Gemara says, Torah as well requires clarity. A person is meant to primarily learn throughout the day. Good weather is conducive for good learning. The Gemara tells us, a person's character can be truly tested. Bekoisoi, bekisoi, bekasoi, some say beschokai as well. We learned about those two chatziris next to each other. And we have two Yisrael with a guy, no matter which configuration we have, schiris is required. The Gemara concluded that you could do schiris even from the landlord, and we concluded that schiris can take place even on Shabbos itself.